begins of Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. No Jason Wilde. Well, kind of. He's actually scheduled to appear coming up in a little bit. No Mark Tauscher. He is for sure off today. We are not calling Tausch. He is requested to take a beat, have a dinner with Lois, and take a day off of the show. Much needed day off for the grinder old T. So you get Jesse Nelson. I'm usually the producer of this show. Today I'm the host of it. And I'm joined by Jim Rutledge. Weekday afternoons, Jim, Matt, and Molly. 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison and the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. Riley Yauch is our producer, Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Special thanks again to Chris Carlin. If you miss any of the conversation in the 9 o'clock hour, subscribe to the Wilde and Tausch podcast, Apple, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, and wherever you get your podcast. Still a lot of responses coming into our two questions from the 9 o'clock hour on the state of the Chicago Bears, with Jim Rutledge being our resident ESPN Wisconsin Bears fan. And also, what's actually hitting even better are the random jerseys being sent in by fans. In honor of, for those who are watching on the ESPN Wisconsin YouTube stream and wherever our video stream can be found on the Wilde and Tausch social platforms, Riley Yauch is wearing a baby blue Texas Rangers Shin-Soo Choo jersey. Apparently, he retired yesterday. Big news.
Not Riley.
He did. Yeah, I didn't retire, hence why I'm at work today. But Shin-Soo Choo, illustrious career in the major leagues.
He was
a great journeyman. He was a utility player on several teams, a good contributor.
So the texts are rolling in. We're asking for the most random jerseys that you own, whether it's Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears, or other. Text from the Yard Possum at 844-770-3776. He has an Emmett Smith Arizona Cardinals jersey, a Marshall Faulk Indianapolis Colts jersey. That's where he started his career before going to the Rams, where he took off. A Kurt Warner Arizona Cardinals jersey in the twilight of his... Made a Super Bowl. That's not that random. And a Michael Finley Wisconsin Badgers jersey. Again, not that random in the grand scope of things. I'd say the Emmett Smith Cardinals jersey takes the cake there of the four options from the Yard Possum.
You know what one I think would play well, and I referenced it earlier as being a Bears fan, there's a lot of random quarterbacks who played for the Bears. I think Dave Craig, Milton College legend, would be a Dave Craig Bears jersey, which probably never existed, would be pretty amazing.
Maybe a Seahawks Dave Craig jersey as well. Oh, went to the Pro Bowl with the Seahawks.
But that's not random. Yeah, like, if he's not, or he should be, he could be a Seahawks Hall of Famer, Dave Craig. Like, he had a heck of a career.
But the NFL in fumbles for a time.
I mean,
I believe before Warren Moon took the record.
Riley, proud Milton resident for those who are curious why Milton College analysis is so strong.
And I'm sure my dad is older than Riley's, but it's just one of those things my dad would tell me. I grew up in Fort Atkinson, and he'd be like, oh, Milton College. I'm like, wait, old man, stop telling me about it. And then Dave Craig ends up on the Bears in 1996. He was 6-6. Let me share this with you. He was 6-6 as their starter.
That's pretty good.
He threw for 2,300 yards, 14 touchdowns, 12 interceptions.
Ahead of his time.
60% completion percentage. Honestly, for 1996, that's not that bad.
It's like Jordan Love stats this year.
Right. But yeah, multiple Pro Bowler Dave Craig. Seattle was most of his run. Little run in Kansas City, Detroit, Arizona, Chicago, Tennessee. But Dave Craig, at 38 years old, quarterback of the Chicago Bears, like, that'd be a jersey. So it probably did exist. I didn't realize he started that many games. 12 games?
Yeah, that's a good run for the Craigster.
I don't know if it was Eric Kramer he came in for. Yeah, who knows?
Another text here from a 608 unnamed. Remember, if it's one of your first times texting us, always share your name and where you're texting from. My most random jersey is a Buffalo Bills Lee Evans jersey that I got when I was young. Former Badgers wide receiver. Yeah. Well, it's a 608 number. Maybe it is Lee Evans who has his Lee Evans Buffalo Bills jersey.
Doesn't want to let us know it's him.
Ezra in Port Washington. This is a good one. A Detlef Schrimp red Sonics jersey. That's pretty. Sonics in general.
Any Seattle Sonics jersey is legendary.
Kemp or obviously Gary Payton, but Detlef Schrimp was pretty. That's a pretty good one.
Riley's beaming ear to ear to jump in. I don't know what he's going to go here when you mention the Sonics.
It has nothing to do with the Sonics. I just got a text.
Are you even old enough to know who the Sonics are?
Yeah, the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, you're young. I don't know.
That's fair. Green and yellow. They had some cool uniforms back in the day. Again, before my time. But Alex Stroff texted me on the private talk and text line informing me that Brian D., dated Shin-Soo Choo's nanny back in Cleveland at one point, a Marquette student. So there's a fun fact for you right there, folks.
There you go. The more you know.
Are we sure that was meant to be public information?
Maybe not, but I thought it was cool, so I wanted to share it. Brian D. can come down, bring the hammer on me later if that wasn't supposed
you
to go
what?
Out.
You know what? It's on Alex, because if you're sending a text that should not be shared, it should say, do not share for the air. Because otherwise he is chiming in on the poll question.
Packers fans, ready for some game day excitement? Next time you're at Lambeau, stop by the American Family Insurance Title Townhouse and experience the thrill of making a game-saving play with the interactive Protect the End Zone game. Plus, don't miss out on the amazing giveaways from exclusive Packers merch to special prizes. There's something for everyone. Visit them at Title Town to make your game day unforgettable. For more info, check out amfam.com/Packers. Now I know why Tausch does his transition to live reads very abruptly sometimes when he doesn't know where else to go to get us out of a jam when Riley may or may not have released information that wasn't supposed to be said publicly about someone's previous dating life at our station. 844-770-3776. Keep your texts coming, not to Riley if you don't want them said, but if they are for public consumption, you can send them to the text line at 844.
Keep all those texts I sent you about Jesse private.
770-3776. I promise you, before we get to Jason Wilde, we are going to review these dang mid-season projections from the ESPN NFL
analysts.
We're
never getting to that.
We're going to do it. We're going to do it next. Don't go anywhere. Jesse and Jim on Wilde and Tausch. Nelson, Jim Rutledge, your cousin subs of the day, in for Wilde and Tausch on Wilde and Tausch on ESPN Wisconsin. Riley Yauch is producing the show today, because normally that's my job. And if I was producing this show, I would have said, hey guys, you got to get to these ESPN NFL midseason predictions by now. Bad job by you, Riley. Come on.
Yep, that's on me.
So over at ESPNWisconsin.com, by the way, Jason Wilde scheduled to appear coming up in a little bit here as well on the show. So even though it is his day off, unlike me, he's going to work extra on his days off. I'm like checked out when it's my days off. Get me out of here.
Days off?
Yeah, you know that.
Just days off? You barely checked in
hey,
when you're
I'm
here.
I'm not Matt Hamilton, Jim.
I feel like I host, by the end of the day today, I will have hosted more in one day than Matt Hamilton has hosted this month.
I think you're right. So over at ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN NFL analysts, there are 18 of them who got in a room somewhere and said, we're not leaving this room until we come out of here with our midseason projections that we can compose and share at ESPNWisconsin.com. And that's exactly what happened. So the Green Bay Packers and some of the NFC North teams featured in some of these questions. There's different questions like, how will the playoff races shake out? Who gets the number one seeds in each conference? And so will this be a playoff team? We won't comb through all of those. One thing that stands out probably first and foremost for Packers fans, who will win the individual player awards? Xavier McKinney, projected by ESPN's Matt Bowen, friend of show, to win NFL Defensive Player of the Year.
I don't hate that. I think that's definitely in play. I think that the biggest thing you'd have to watch out for would be, is there some sort of, like Trey Hendrickson with Cincinnati has 11 sacks. Like, does he add more? I mean, I think that would be the biggest one. And obviously he's competing with Kirby Joseph in Detroit and Marlon Humphrey with Baltimore as far as interceptions. But I think he is clearly in the mix. I would definitely view him as a finalist for that award, even though the year's half over, just with 6 interceptions. If he doesn't get one more, he's still probably going to be in the mix. But I would say that Trey Hendrickson's a guy, or Kirby Joseph could be keeping beat with him. But I don't think that's a crazy take.
What I think is, what this says to me about Xavier McKinney is not only the fact that he's projected to win the award, which is awesome, obviously, as a Packers fan, you're excited to see anyone in that conversation. I don't even know the last time the Packers had a defensive player of the year that was like a legitimate candidate at this point of the season.
Well, and my take on awards, and maybe you're getting to the same point, is that who cares if they win? If they're in the conversation, they had a hell of a season. So,
and even more than that, I think this is a hell of an off season for Goody.
True,
the fact
true.
That Xavier McKinney in his first season has been a difference maker as big as he is here in the first half of this season with all the interceptions, with the ways that he's flipped games. I mean, look at the games that the Packers have lost with Jordan Love interceptions.
Yep.
The Packers can say they've won just as many thanks to Xavier McKinney interceptions.
Absolutely.
So it's been really awesome to see the immediate impact that he's had this season and the fact that he is in that conversation, that the Packers, in a first-year defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley, those are really two wins for Goody, if you think about it. Not only Xavier McKinney, but also the new defensive coordinator, putting him in a position to succeed. Like that all that can be a testament here with McKinney and the defensive player of the year conversation.
I put coaches on coaches. So LaFleur gets credit for Hafley.
Not sure. Yeah,
I mean, that's how I would do that. I mean, he's the one hiring the defense. He's hiring
the
staff.
They just sound so similar sometimes. I don't know. It's like you're crediting the same guy.
I would just say that I think LaFleur and Hafley, I think he gets the credit for that one.
Sure.
Do you think it's revisionist history? Clearly, Josh Jacobs is a good player. But and I can't off the top of my head think of the receivers. But should that, for an example, you could have had Aaron Jones at a discount and spent that money to receiver, as Jaden Reed's the only guy who's taken the step that everyone thought he was going to take. I mean, that's a conversation that is either, I saw some Packer fans are trying to blame Jordan or the wide receivers. The same Packer fans who probably said, we had four number ones.
Wow.
Yeah. Four number ones and two great tight ends.
The ensemble
cast.
You got
a tight end and you got a receiver. And then you got a bunch of other guys, like most receivers, who are up and down.
So, I don't know where you've been hanging out. Maybe the YouTube comments. I haven't seen...
which is a horrible place, and I've moved off of it. But
I haven't seen as much criticism of the wide receivers. Obviously, they haven't lived up necessarily to the hype that
one
it was
has.
Coming
Reed.
In. Reed
and,
yeah,
Jaden Reed and Kraft, you have two, which is what I thought was going to happen.
Tucker Kraft's been incredible. He's been way better than I expected.
I didn't know who it was going to be. I would have bet on Reed and Kraft, but I thought you were going to get, at best, two guys out of this group. And Dobbs is fine. But you weren't going to have this plethora of receivers, and you're going to have to pick and choose which guy. Because my whole thing is that the Davante Adams trade, the best case scenario with the Davante Adams trade was that it never happened for everyone. Because we assumed that Jordan Love would operate the same way Aaron Rodgers would have. But instead, you would have had Jordan Love with Davante Adams, a guy who always gets open, helps Jordan Love from making his dumb decisions sometimes because Devontae's just open. And Jordan Love is good when he throws to a guy who gets open quick. He's one of the best in the league at that. So if you had Davante Adams and Jaden Reed, Jordan Love looks better, the Packers' offense looks better, and then all those other receivers are complimentary pieces. So, and honestly, in the perfect world, Davante Adams never traded from the Green Bay Packers.
I don't know if you
And then
can,
you have Aaron Jones and not Josh Jacobs.
You can say that now, but and we can ask Jason about this coming up when he joins us as well. I don't know if you can look back. Just the mentality Davante had at the time where he was traded seemed like he didn't want to be part of what was projected to be the rebuild that the Packers were going to go through.
Projected, but it very quickly looked like, obviously it wasn't a rebuild.
And also, there was an extra year built in there where Aaron Rodgers was still the quarterback without Davante Adams in Green Bay. It feels like it all happened
at the
same time.
But that wasn't a good year.
And it wasn't, correct.
They could have made the playoffs.
Year.
Instead of losing to the Lions.
So I understand where you're coming from. I don't think long-term at the time, given the situation the Packers were in and Davante was, I don't think you can safely say, this is what they should have done and everything would have been great. Obviously now...
No, so a sliding door sort of thing.
More of the question is, would you have wanted to trade for Davante now and figured out the offense and put him in the... now if everyone realizes, okay, well, this is actually would have been a better fit. Let's do that instead of have Davante go to the Jets. I don't know if that would have been of interest or not. Obviously, we'll probably never know. So Xavier McKinney is projected to win Defensive Player of the Year by Matt Bowen, ESPN NFL analyst. In this article at ESPNWisconsin.com, the 18 NFL analysts with their second half predictions. Trey Hendrickson is mentioned by Seth Walder, the analytics nerd, as I like to refer to him in the
numbers
show sheet for Wilde and Tausch.
Weirdos.
Defensive Player of the Year for the Cincinnati Bengals, who gave up a lot of points to defense last night. Just throw that out there. Jared Goff is projected by Lindsay Theory, a national NFL reporter, to win his first MVP award.
I don't hate it.
I don't either. And I think, obviously, the run that he's been on in the last 5 weeks has been just insane. He has more touchdown passes than incompletions. He had an entire game without an incompletion on Monday Night Football. And they needed all of it to beat the Seahawks that day. It's been an amazing run that Jared Goff's been on. He's been put in a perfect position. You mentioned Ben Johnson earlier in his ties to potentially be the next head coach of the Bears because he's that good as an offensive coordinator right now with the Detroit Lions. They are just clicking on all cylinders. And if Jared Goff is projected to win his first MVP, my first thought when I saw this was, well, that makes sense. My second thought was, man,
We all thought Jordan Love was going to be on that line coming into this season.
True. We may have watched the MVP play last night, though. Whether it's Lamar or Joe Burrow. Now, Joe Burrow might not have the wins to get there, but Joe Burrow is having an incredible season, and Lamar is right there with him. Lamar has 24 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's just through the air. He might just win another MVP. And Joe Burrow, it's lost because of the record, but he is having a season for the ages. The only thing that I think would hold Jared Goff back is the counting stats aren't there for him. And that would be the biggest hurdle. Like, he's incredibly efficient. QBR and QB rating is incredibly high. He doesn't throw for a lot of yards, not a lot of touchdowns. But again, I look at touchdown-interception ratio, because touchdowns to me are a product of what type of team you are. Like, there's some teams you get in the red zone, like Detroit. They got Gibbs, they got Montgomery. We'll just run the ball. Those guys are good enough to put the ball in the end zone, so your touchdowns dissipate because they go to the running backs. The Detroit Lions offense is elite, and he's running that offense. So if voters look at it like that and say, as a whole, he's running one of the best offenses in all of football, and he's running it incredibly efficiently, given the MVP. But if you're looking for singular talents, Burrow and Lamar could be in the mix there.
Jared Goff also projected by Seth Wickersham, who is different than Seth Wald. We have to explain this to Tausch all the time. He thinks that everyone named Seth is the same person that writes at ESPN. Jared Goff will break Drew Brees' single-season record for completion percentage. What Seth Wickersham projects.
Goes to the I don't know what the record is, but 75% right now for Jared Goff.
83% was an NFL record for the first 5 games, according to ESPN's research here. I'm reading from Seth Wickersham in this little blurb at ESPNWisconsin.com. He does lead the NFL with 74.9% completion, putting him on pace to eclipse the record of 74.4% single season mark set by Drew Brees in 2018.
That does not surprise me. They have a great offensive line. He is similar in Jordan Love in the idea that when Jared Goff has a clean pocket and has time to find the guy, he will find the guy. He'll put the ball on that guy. And so Jared, just like Jordan, struggles when the pressure comes. But right now, the Lions have built an immaculate team, and Ben Johnson is right there with Coach LaFleur as being a play caller.
And we're going to get to tiers of NFL teams. Jason Wilde still coming up. Jesse Nelson, Jim Rutledge on Wilde and Tausch today, with Jason and Tausch both having the day off as we head into the Packers and Badgers bye week. Tausch mentioned something yesterday when we were actually talking about Badger football. And he said when he played for Coach Barry Alvarez, they would say, like, okay, when Iowa came and got beat up by Ron Dayne breaking the rushing record and winning the Heisman Trophy that year at Camp Randall, Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa Hawkeyes left, and they said, you know what, we leave there wanting to that is what we want to be. We can see, like, it sucks that we got beat up and that we lost the game bad, but it's also kind of exciting to see that's what we're modeling our team to try and be. Is there anything that you would say that Matt LaFleur should try and take from the loss to the Lions last week in that same mold and say, that's what we're actually trying to be. Let's do more of that in the second half of the season. Or is the Lions' style just totally different than what Jordan Love and the Packers' offense approaches each week?
I don't know if it's style, but I think that their roster is assembled better. I know it's blasphemous to say on the show because Tauscher is all in.
We're pro Goody around here.
And I'm not saying Goody's not a good GM and it hasn't put together a good team, but the Lions have a lot of playmakers. And it's in this fine line of, like, it almost seems like Goody's going out of his way to have the youngest team, which is nice. It's a cool little feather and cap. But I had this conversation with Tauscher, and he said, oh, the Lions' window's closing. Their players are still pretty young. They're still on young contracts. They're not that – I think it's like a 3-month difference between the Packers and the Lions as far as age. And, oh, by the way, Jared Goff, old man Jared Goff, 30, just turned 30. How old did Jordan Love just turn? 26. Like, Jordan Love is not old, but either is Jared Goff. Like, these two guys will compete for a while in this division. But then you look at it, Jahmyr Gibbs – and David Montgomery, that's what you have at running back. You have two guys back there who could start on most teams. You have St. James, Jameson Williams, Laporta. But then even there's players who I think still are playmakers, whether it's Raymond or Patrick. So their team is just a little bit deeper. But I think the bigger part of it is that the Packers can't mimic from the Lions. And it's not necessarily a death blow. The Lions are tough and gritty as hell. And that's Dan Campbell, and that is his personality, and that is just their overall mindset. And the Packers can't do that because that's not LaFleur, But they can still win there. I mean, obviously, there's other teams that have won with playing styles, the Saints being one of them, that were not the toughest. They can be tough enough, and I think the Packers are building a style that's tough enough. But the Lions are like the badasses of the NFL right now. I mean, they are the team that says, we're going to go there, we're gonna kick your butt, and we're going to wear a shirt that says, your town sucks. And so, like, that's what they're doing right now, and that's their mentality. It's similar to, like, the Ravens. The Lions and the Ravens mentality are similar. The Packers are more like the 49ers, but they don't have that. They don't run the ball as hard. I think the one thing they could do more is, with Lloyd maybe coming off of IR, run more. Be more of a running team, and let that, especially with Jordan Love, he's inaccurate, and he's throwing the ball to the wrong team. Run the ball more then. And that takes the pressure off Jordan Love. And maybe you have to coach Jordan Love like he is Baker and Dak and not Aaron Rodgers. Back to my point earlier, that those guys, you use all of your players and your weapons to get the most out of them, and they're at their best when they have better players. And maybe LaFleur in the bye week says, you know what? Jordan Love's good. Maybe he'll get better. But we might be at our best leaning into Jacobs and then hopefully Lloyd, and let's just run the hell out of the ball and take some of those wild decisions out of the hands of Jordan Love.
Has been one of the strong critiques from Packers fans this year. Why don't we run the football more effectively? If we got Josh, look what happened when we ran him 32 times against the Indianapolis Colts with Malik Willis. It was a beatdown of a game. Like, let's do more of that. So we'll see as the weather gets a little worse up in Green Bay if that ends up being the case here in the second half of the season. Jason Wilde sharing his perspective on a lot of what you just said. I'm actually intrigued to ask Jason about, and some of these projections for the second half of the season. He is scheduled to appear coming up here on Wilde and Tausch. I don't know if it's going to be next or in a little bit. We'll see where he's at here in a moment. We'll also get to Jim Rutledge's tiers of NFL teams. Still a lot to get to. The weekend preview. We still got to play trivia. I know, Jim, you love trivia. You love some trivia. So yeah, we're going to play trivia. Feel Good Friday. A lot of our usual Wilde and Tausch Friday staples still ahead. This Veterans Day, which is coming up on Monday, Fleet Farm would like to show their appreciation for all those who have bravely served our country. November 7th to the 11th, that's right now, all veterans and active military members can get 10% off their in-store purchases. Visit your local Fleet Farm store to save 10% through Veterans Day, November 7th to the 11th. So through the 11th, that deal's going on. And Milwaukee Deal Day is going on right now at Fleet Farm. Find awesome deals on power tool combos, kits, batteries, accessories, and more from a power tool brand you can count on. These deals won't last long. Stop into Fleet Farm today to save during Milwaukee Deal Days. Maybe Jason Wilde scheduled to appear next? We'll find out. It's Wilde and Tausch with Jesse and Jim. So he tweeted 23 hours ago, took off of Wilde and Tausch today, and now have received two unsolicited texts saying Jesse Nelson said something ridiculous. Tuning into the YouTube stream to find out what Jelly said. That's not great.
I'm just glad it wasn't me.
I don't know how many texts he's gotten today about the Bears conversation that's taken place on his show. His name is on it, and he has the day off, but he's joining us anyway because he's probably heard about how this show has gone. It's Jason Wilde joining us on Wilde and Tausch. Jesse Nelson and Jim Rutledge, your cousin subs of the day. Jason, how are your day offs treating you, man? How you doing?
Well, other than the marital strife I'm creating by never being able to take a day off, I've already appeared on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy and the WXRO morning show in Beaver Dam. And now on my show that I share with you and Tausch, I'm great. Although I will say this, I was just at Boucher Automotive. Both Paula and I both were way overdue for our service on our Nissan vehicles. And my buddy Danny walked in and said, a lot of Bears talk without you and Tausch on the show. A lot of Bears talk. He was listening on his drive into work, so... I had some idea of what might be going on the program. Yesterday, I did not. I had a lot of tasks that Paula had for me to do. We were painting Sid's room. I did no painting whatsoever, but I did have to remove her old bed that we're selling on Facebook Marketplace.
Gotta get your bang for your buck there. Yeah,
exactly. But that was, I got those texts saying you were being some sort of knucklehead, saying some crazy things. I got one text saying, I don't know if I've ever heard Jesse deliver a worse take than that. I don't know what it was.
I'm curious too.
I got there to tune in, they'd moved on. So what did I miss?
Jason, I learned yesterday a newfound appreciation for you and the role that you're in here on this fine show, hosting with Old T. Because I didn't even really have a take. I asked a question. The question that I asked, we were talking about the pass rush and the state of the defense yesterday. And that led to a conversation about how the Packers defense played since Evan Williams has been out with his injury. And I asked Tausch, is it any indication like that there's any reason for concern that the Packers defense, especially in that game against Jacksonville, seemed so dependent on a rookie who was a day three draft pick this year being like the focal point of the Packers defense? And you would have thought that I told Tausch that the sky wasn't blue. And it was just, he was like, how can you say it? Oh, it's such a bad thing that Evan Williams is a good player for the Packers. That makes no sense. And he just put me in a corner that I couldn't get out of. So all I was asking was, is it a bad thing or is there any reason for concern that a day three draft pick who has played very well this year, I understand, like I'm happy that he's played so well, it's made the defense that good, is there any reason for concern that it seems like the defense took that much of a hit when Evan Williams wasn't on the field? Is it a bad thing or can it be perceived as a bad thing that they're so dependent on his involvement in the defense? Is that a crazy question to ask?
No, it's not, actually. And as much as you're putting me in the awkward position of defending you, I will do it. because I think what you're really saying is that, you know, for a defense that has some very high-priced players that they signed in free agency or re-signed to extensions, for a defense that has a lot of first-round pick investment and a lot of capital investments from a draft perspective, it's a little bit alarming that things could turn the way they turned in the Jacksonville game in particular without a guy who was a fourth round pick. Right. And look, you guys know that I've been on the Evan Williams train pretty much from the jump, but not because he's a former Duck, but because he's a really good player. And he does remind me of Micah Hyde. And I think, you know, when Jaire Alexander and Micah Hyde both say that he reminds them of Micah Hyde, that's probably a sign that I knew a little bit of what I was talking about. But the fact of the matter is that I think if you look at the Jacksonville game, the issue, and again, I believe in the importance of practice. Like, you know, for example, and this is obviously not the NFL, but like for Sydney's basketball team, I love going to practice. And I don't even coach on the bench during most games, only if one of the other two coaches have a conflict. And I'm okay with that because I really think the practice, and I know this is going to sound corny, but that's where the magic happens. That's where you get better. That's where you build your closeness as a team. I have always loved practice. Now, maybe that's because, say, in high school basketball, I didn't play in the game, so I had to love practice. But my point is that what we have seen, both with Jordan Love and his performance in the last several weeks, and with the defense, is the value of practice. So they made a commitment, and let me be clear, it's the right commitment of taking Keyshawn Nixon, when they're in their base defense, Keyshawn Nixon wouldn't have been on the field, right? He would have been just playing in the slot in the nickel. They believed that he was more than that. They moved him outside, and they were right. He's had a very good season. Better than I anticipated, okay? So he's outside now. You take... McKinney, and you move him to the slot position, and then you bring Evan Williams, who definitely deserved to be on the field, off the bench and into the starting lineup. But then when you have the injury to Evan Williams, suddenly now guys that didn't practice where they're now being where they're having to play are playing, and you would like them to play well, but they didn't, right? Javon Bullard, even though he had all those snaps at safety, had not played there in several weeks and didn't play that well in that game. We saw him get smoked twice in that game. We certainly saw what Eric Stokes has done, right? I mean, Eric Stokes they never bench corners in the middle of a possession, and they did that late in the game against Jacksonville. So whether it's the inaccuracy or decision-making that Jordan Love has had issues with, I don't think his knee or his groin were as big of issues on game day as they were the fact that he didn't practice on Wednesday and only did individual work on Thursday and then played, you know, mediocre to poorly in the Lions game. That's what I think. And so, yes, your premise is a fair question, Jesse, but I think it goes to a bigger issue of how do you make sure that other guys are ready on defense? And I think that's what they're working through still, because I think if Jeff Hafley were sitting and joining you guys in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios today, I think what he would say is, we got to make sure that these guys are ready if something problematic happens, because we were not ready to deal with that in the game against Jacksonville, and we weren't as good as we're capable of being in the Lions game against a really good offense.
Thank you for your support, Jason. Much appreciated.
I feel dirty, but I had to do it.
Nice to have somebody in my corner here for once.
So
let's not get carried away.
Jason, I've thrown this out to Evan Cohen nationally, and then we just had Chris Carlin on nationally, and this idea, and I give Matt Hamilton, my regular co-host, a hard time because he regularly calls Dak Prescott mid. Like, he's just a mid quarterback, which to me is an insight into Packer fans, I would say, luck, fortune, mm-hmm. of having, obviously, Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. And I do feel like, and I use Matt and Molly, my two co-hosts, as my test cases, that it would feel disastrous if Jordan Love turns out to be the next Baker Mayfield, Dak Prescott quarterback. Let's just assume Baker stays with the same team. Like Baker with Tampa right now, he's a very good quarterback, fringe Pro Bowl, most teams would take him. Do you think that there is almost a Jordan Love could almost be the victim of expectations with the Packers, that if he turns into Cousins or Ryan or Mayfield or Dak Prescott, I think Packer fans are going to be disappointed, which actually would be a great pick for Goody because that's not easy to do.
No, they will be. They'll undeniably be disappointed. And again, I don't want to speak for Packers fans, and especially not for Packers fans as a whole, because they're not a homogeneous group. They are there are different people with different opinions. But I do get the sense that there has been a big surprise for a lot of them. And look, this is not me taking a victory lap in any way. But I do think that there has been a surprise that, oh my gosh, in year two, with opposing defensive coordinators having 19 games of film on him, they have managed to make him hoard, you know, kind of goad him into mistakes. And I want to say, no, in the famous words of Mark Tauscher, no blank, blank. Like, it's hard. It's hard to be a really good quarterback. And it's really hard to be a really good quarterback without any missteps or any setbacks. And the girls hate the growth is not linear line, and I'm sure our listeners get tired of it too, but it's true. And he has demonstrated that undeniably this season, right? There is no question that he is still growing as a player, and that if you look at what he's done, it has been at fits and starts, and the decision making has been particularly problematic, right? Like, these are and I keep using this as an example, and I'm sorry if people are tired of it. But one of the how I felt sitting in the lobby of the, I think it was a courtyard, the girls had a gymnastics meet in West Bend. And so I watched the San Francisco playoff game in the lobby, like, restaurant, which had no food and no beverages or anything else, by myself. And I wrote and I did the post-game show with the guys and everything else from there, and I will never forget the feeling I had after that game, which was, I thought Jordan Love was better than this. Because everything we had seen in the previous nine games, including that playoff game where he had a perfect passer rating before they panicked and put him back in after they'd taken him out and put Sean Clifford in, he was too good for the mistakes he made in that game, right? Especially mm-hmm. the last pass of the season. Across his body, late, over the middle, into triple coverage. We were convinced he's beyond that. And that was the moment that crystallized to me as I continued to think about it through the offseason that, hey, he's not better than that. You know why? Because he was a first-year starter. And it's great that he did what he did during those nine games, but there's going to be more moments like that 49ers game. And we've seen them. I mean, I still the interception, Matt Hamilton's explanation of point saving notwithstanding, in L.A. is still confounding to me that he did that. And then, you know, this one wasn't as bad, but as multiple listeners of ours brought up, what was to even if Josh Jacobs breaks a tackle, it's not worth putting that ball in harm's way against the Lions. And it was all she wrote after that. They go in and score to start the second half. It's 24-3. You're donezo. And so those are things that are still he is still going through. And do I think he will come out on the other side as a better quarterback? Absolutely. But will the Matt Hamiltons of the world, who don't have their green and gold colored glasses on when they look, ultimately see him the way he sees Dak Prescott? Maybe. It's possible that he will not be good enough. All the stuff that has happened, the roster they've put together and everything else, that doesn't guarantee. There's plenty of teams that should have won Super Bowls that didn't. And I'm not saying that the Packers won't win a Super Bowl on Jordan Love's watch. I'm not saying that at all. But we at least have to acknowledge the possibility that that might be the case. For as good as the 49ers have been, right, under Harbaugh, under Mariucci, now under Kyle Shanahan, when's the last time they won a title? George Seifert? Am I wrong about that? Like, hasn't it been like 28 years since they won a title?
It was the mid-90s. I know that. Early right? 90s, when, I guess yeah. It would be, yeah.
Like when Steve Young like throws the imaginary monkey off his back on the sideline. I think it's when they beat the Chargers in the 94 season and the Packers then beat them in the playoffs in the 95 playoffs. And that's the start of the Packers' ascendancy, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that team, that organization has got a hell of a lot right, and they still don't have a title for it. They've got a couple of Super Bowl appearances, three maybe, no title. So it's really hard, and even though Goody has put together a great roster, and even though I think Jordan Love is going to be better than just a mid-quarterback, that doesn't guarantee anything. Just like Jim knows that getting the franchise quarterback that they've lacked, and I still believe in Caleb Williams, even with his growth challenges that he's had this season, isn't a guarantee that they're ever going to get it right either.
Yep.
Too much Bears talk, Jason. Too much.
Well, it's even positive talk.
I thought I kept it to a minimum.
when I brought it up earlier, it wasn't like hopium, you know?
You're saying they might fire the coach hopium after this weekend. Jason, thank you so much for the insights, and we'll be sure to have some of that available for a Where's Wildy round with Tausch next week, so keep that in mind when we get ready to play when you return. You know how much he loves when you're a guest on your own show. Before you go, Riley Yauch is our producer today, and he is wearing a baby blue Texas Rangers Shinsu Chu jersey, which the fans watching on the video stream have loved, and it's led to us asking for the most random jersey that fans own. I know you've got a lot of trinkets and things in the basement, and if you haven't sold it on Facebook Marketplace, is there a jersey that's in your possession that you would say is the most random that you have owned?
Who is the kid in the Mighty Ducks that is supposed to be a hawk, and then he ends up on the Ducks?
Is that Conway?
No, I think is
no
is
it? Banks.
Banks. Okay, Banks. I haven't seen Mighty Ducks in forever.
been a minute for me as well.
I have a the Mighty Ducks, and not the like Anaheim Mighty Ducks, like the actual District 5 Mighty Ducks, coached by Emilio Estevez. I have that jersey, and it's Banks 99. And I need to call Madison weight loss so I can fit into it someday.
Well, there goes my request for you to wear it on Monday's show to throw Tausch a loop. So be it.
Oh, I could probably squeeze into it. I probably won't make it all 3 hours, though.
Just out of the gates on Monday. That'll be a fun twist to start our week with no Packers and Badgers game to react to from the weekend. Jason, enjoy the bye week. Enjoy your days off. Even though you keep working, you should get better at that. I can teach you a thing or two. Thank you so much for taking the time and joining your own show.
It's literally what I said to Paula. I said, I could really take a good lesson from Jesse. That's never a problem for him.
It's rude. Matt Hamilton could teach you too, but he's not here. So,
He's competing at an international level. So, all right, guys, take care. Be good.
He doesn't know what I'm up to. Jason Wilde. Yes. Jason Wilde joining us on his own show here on Wilde and Tausch. You hear him every weekday right here, 9 to noon. You know that already. His name's on the marquee, Wilde and Tausch. Let's play trivia. Let's play trivia here to close out the 10 o'clock hour. We're way behind. The clock management when Jason gets involved is always atrocious. So let's play trivia. Caller number 9. I like 9. 844-770-3776. Right now, caller number 9. Final entries of the week to play Wilde and Tausch trivia. Today's trivia category... Jim, Matt, and Molly. I'm proud of this one.
Jim. Okay.
It's not about you. Don't worry.
Okay.
We have one question about a Jim, one question about a Matt, and one question about a Molly in honor of Jim, Matt, and Molly host Jim Rutledge as the cousin sub of the day on today's show. Jim, Matt, and Molly is today's trivia category. Caller number 9 right now, 844-770-3776. Wilde and Tausch trivia coming up next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Rutledge, your cousin subs of the day on Wilde and Tausch. Special thanks again to Jason Wilde for joining his own show in our last segment. If you missed any of the conversation, we'll have it up for you. Apple, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcasts. In addition to subscribing to Wilde and Tausch, to Jim, Matt, and Molly, you should also subscribe to the Green and Gold Fix podcast to get all the best Packers conversation from ESPN Wisconsin each and every day. It is time now to play Wilde and Tausch trivia. Fun category this week. Or today, I should say. Jim, Matt, and Molly. In honor of Jim Rutledge and is our cousin sub of the day from Jim, Matt, and Molly. Weekday afternoons on ESPN Madison from 4 to 6. Our contestant today is not a Jim or a Matt or a Molly. It is a Mike in Oak Creek. Mike, welcome to Wilde and Tausch Trivia with Jesse and Jim. How are you on this beautiful Friday?
Doing okay.
Are you upset by the amount of Bears conversation we've had today?
Well, I didn't have to really listen to it because I was actually winning money down at Pottawatomie today. So hopefully I'll be as lucky here as I was there.
Well, Mike's having a heck of a Friday. All right, Mike, let's see what else you got here today. Mike at Oak Creek, Wilde and Tausch Trivia, Jim, Matt, and Molly. Naturally, with Jim here, I will ask the first question about people named Jim. which of these comic actors played the villain, the Riddler, in the 1995 film Batman Forever? Was it Jim Carrey, Jim Gaffigan, or Jim Harbaugh?
I'll go with A, Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey, put him on the board. Yes.
All right. In addition to the Green Bay Packers, which of these NFL teams currently has a head coach named Matt? Seattle, Miami, or Chicago?
Chicago?
Yep.
Sure is. Matt Eberflus, at least for now. We'll see on Monday if they lose to the Patriots. It could be a different story. But that is the only two Matts who are head coaches in the NFL as of right now are the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. I know Jim, Matt, and Molly love the first name game. So
yeah, exactly.
Worthwhile noting here. All right, chance to go 3 for 3. Mike in Oak Creek, question number 3 to close out our week in Wilde and Tausch trivia. The 2017 movie Molly's Game, based on the memoir written by Molly Bloom, which Tausch talked about earlier this week on this show, follows the investigation of an underground empire of which type of competition? Poker, boxing, or horse racing?
I'm going to go with horse racing.
What would you have said to him, Jim?
Where he was at earlier.
That would have probably helped. Yeah, it was an underground
poker.
It was an underground poker ring featured in Molly's. Very good movie, Mike. You have had a heck of a Friday already. Get home, and I think it's on Netflix. You can find Molly's Game if you want to give it a watch. It's worth it.
Can I give you a little extra into Molly's Game?
Sure, why not?
Molly Bloom's brother is Jeremy Bloom, who played for Colorado, who was famous kind of early in his name and likeness thing because he was also a great skier.
Yes.
So it ties to Matt Hamilton, the Olympic side of it. Jeremy Bloom, an Olympic-level skier. But Jeremy Bloom ended up getting suspended by the NCAA because he got some money for his practicing and travel from Team USA for the Olympics. So that was a back in the days when the NCAA was so dumb that they turned it into this.
Well, I'm glad they figured it out entirely.
Yeah, they stuck their head in the sand and then they blew it up.
Another Jim Carrey thing, Dumb and Dumber.
There you go.
Nicely done, Mike. You got two of the three questions correct, which means you get three of the possible four entries into the drawing for an ESPN Wisconsin prize pack a little bit later in the show. Good luck. Have a great rest of your weekend.
You too.
Mike in Oak Creek, today's contestant for Wilde and Tausch Trivia. Jeremy Bloom came up earlier this week because when Tausch was on the call of the blowout loss for the Badgers at Iowa last week, he mistook Jeremy Bloom for Tim Dwight and brought up during the broadcast with Matt LePay, I don't know if Tim Dwight was a great skier or not, was a quote in the middle of the fourth quarter during the blowout after he had referenced Tim Dwight skiing, then realizing he got him confused with Jeremy Bloom related to Molly's Game, which is a great movie you all should watch. And that is the end of Wilde and Tausch Trivia and the end of the 10 o'clock hour of today's show. Still one more hour to go. We have our weekend preview. Jim Rutledge still to reveal his tiers of NFC teams, which I'm very excited to actually hear. I'm sure that will go over very well with Packers fans tuning into the show today. Feel Good Friday. Whoa, Riley. That's how we wrap up this week. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Jesse and Jim on Wilde and Tausch.